Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics and Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you so kindly for being a part of the show. We are going to have a great show for you. As usual, have quite a bit of videos for you this afternoon. Spent a whole lot of time working on them today, so we are going to have some fun, folks. How are my peeps doing? How are my peeps doing? I'm sure my peeps are doing just fine. Anyhow, folks, great show today. Great show today. Well, hey, we should really say great show every day, right? Great show. Todos los días vamos a tener un buen show. Tú sabes cómo va la vaina. Anyway, folks, let's get busy. Welcome aboard. E2247 is in the house. We also have Maywood from Maywood from Long Beach, California. Eric Hayes from Atascosita Kingwood. And of course, AVQ is here from Brooklyn, New York. And Michael Rudnin is here from Brooklyn, New York. And we have Melanie Keelan from Barcelona, Spain. Yet another day, and we don't see our good friend, Yvette Avery Herod. I'm going to have to check out and make sure Yvette Avery Herod is okay. Somebody, could you go ahead and ping Yvette just to make sure that she's okay? She has been a mainstay here every day and one of the first ones to check in. So anybody else in here while we kind of get things together, let her know. We are wanting to know where our sister is, if she's okay. Not that we're saying get on here. Just want to make sure that she's okay since we haven't seen or heard her from a while. So somebody, if you will, go ahead and contact our beautiful Yvette Avery Herod. I'd love for somebody to do that while we're on the air just to kind of check it out and make sure all is good. Anyway, folks, how's everybody doing? You know, I haven't been watching. You know, I turned off the news earlier today, so you guys may have to, if there's any new stuff that showed up in the last few minutes, you guys are going to have to tell me. I think I'm going to put up my Twitter to make sure that I haven't missed anything particularly. And I don't think I have, based on what my feed is saying so far. I'm looking at my home feed and things look like they are still all okay with Richie Torres continue. Still being a stooge for AIPAC, but what can I say? That's sort of the modus operandi for quite a few of our politicians. Anyway, let's see if we are on the chain yet. Let's see if our new people are on. Yep, it was just sent out by our thing. Okay, let's go ahead and get this here. Let's see. Michael Rudnin says, from The Verge, consumers will finally see FCC-mandated nutrition labels for most broadband plans. Huh? Nutrition. Okay. After a nearly eight-year-long battle by the FCC to require internet companies to display information on the cost, fees, and speed of their broadband service is finally over. Starting on Wednesday, all but the smallest ISP will be required to publish broadband nutrition labels on all of their plans, the regulator announced. The FCC intention behind the label is that they'll allow consumers to more easily comparison shop between plans and avoid any hidden fees. The next time you shop for either a standalone home or fixed internet plan or a new mobile broadband plan, you should notice such a label. Each label will include monthly broadband prices, introductory rate details, data allowances, broadband speeds, and links to find out about any available discounts or service bundle. This is a nice idea, but to fix ISP screwing their customers, you need more regional competition. Any location that's limited to a duopoly between two corporations and no smaller ISP competing for lower prices will invariably see price fixing between these two entities, which is what occurs right now. But you know what? Things are getting better. Things are getting better. All right. What else have we got here? Reliable power to the Texas grid. Let's see. What is that about, Eric? Quan, Texas. Let's see. Peaker plant near San Marcos to provide more power to ERCOT. Oh, what kind of power is it? Can you tell me, Eric? All right. Let's see what else we got here. Para ver, go out and buy votes, as it is really easy to give away people's money. Taxpayers who have already paid and those that did not go to college are the ones being forced to endure the debt. If that is the way you see it, I could make another argument. I could say that those people who are making that are making more money because of a college education are paying more taxes, and they're subsidizing a lot of the poor who are currently, you know, getting a stipend from the state. You see, it is silly to make those arguments, Eric, because I could create a permutation that says when we took all the people's monies and gave it as subsidies to corporations, that is people's monies and going into the pocket of shareholders and etc. But you don't see it that way. You only see a problem when it is when for some reason the middle class and the poor are the ones receiving something from us all. But when it goes to corporations, who goes to us few, you never complain about it. That is brainwashing. And I continue to tell you that is slave mentality. You have a slave mentality, my dear brother. I am hoping that we can free your mind. I am hoping we can free your mind. Yvette Avery Herrera, you don't know how happy I am to see you. I was just asking folks about if anybody had heard from you because, you know, in looking at the feed, I hadn't seen you in a couple of days. And, you know, not that we're saying you need to be here now, but I mean, we love having you here. But when we don't see somebody for a long time, we always kind of check up on them to make sure it's all okay when it's somebody that's always here. So I am glad to see you here, my dear, beautiful Yvette Avery Herod. Michael Radnin says, agreed, Egberto. Conservatives seem to like it when government and corporations tag team the people, whereas liberals and progressives want government to prioritize the needs of the people above the greed of the corporations. Exactly right. Yvette says it's been a rough week. Thanks for checking. Well, girl, you know, we got to make sure that you're okay. So is there anything that you ever have to bring to me or the group? You know, we are here. We're family, girl. All right, let's continue here. What else have I got before I play my first video, before I place go out and buy votes? And that's not it again. Again, Eric, you constantly miss the point. You constantly miss the point. Anyway, you know, Trump is in retreat. Uncle Sam wants his tax funds. That is one mousetrap college debt, but buying votes is, oh Lord. I think you have a mental block. What I need to do is I need to unchain the doorway of slavery in your avenues in your mind so that you can start to think not about donating your capital to corpse, but to start saying, I want to do, in your case, since you're a Christian, what Jesus would do. But you know, evangelical preachers have learned how to teach hate to their pew in a less than loving manner, and still they think they're being of the Lord. Anyhow, let's go with the first video. Donald Trump seems to be retreating, people. Donald Trump seems to be retreating. Check this out. And then we'll take it on the other side. Well, 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 Donald Trump has stopped in it again. Remember, for all these years, since he's attempted to run for president, he's been on the Obamacare bandwagon. I hate Obamacare. We need to repeal Obamacare. We need to stuff Obamacare everything negative about Obamacare, he kept on saying. Now he tried to repeal it. Senator McCain saved it. But remember, in as much as he tried to repeal it while he was president, he had nothing to offer people. So things like pre-existing conditions, where even people, whether they're on the specific Obamacare or their standard health care insurance, they could no longer not insure you because of a pre-existing condition. And this crazy man, this evil man, this unintelligent man was just going to repeal Obamacare because he doesn't like President Obama and he was going to leave people without. Now that he realized that most Americans now are seeing the real picture that, yes, Obamacare didn't only give people insurance, it also made their insurance forcibly more secure from the thugs who run the insurance companies. Oh, they don't want you to mess with it anymore. And Donald Trump was kind of late to the party. Check this out, and then we'll take it on the other side as he tries to backtrack.
After 8 years of vowing to repeal the Affordable Care Act without offering a viable replacement, Donald Trump now says he only wants to make Obamacare better. In a video posted to Truth Social yesterday, Trump claimed President Joe Biden is misrepresenting Trump's position on the health care plan used by about 40 million Americans. But as recently as last year, Trump still was saying, quote, he was looking at the alternatives to the ACA and bemoaning the failure of a 2017 Senate vote to repeal it. Here is what Trump said yesterday, followed by a few of his many comments over the years.
I'm not running to terminate the ACA, as crooked Joe Biden says all over the place. I'm running to close the border, stop inflation, make our economy great, strengthen our military, and make the ACA, or Obamacare, as it's sometimes known, much better, stronger, and far less expensive, because it's much too expensive now and it's not very good. We're going to create great health care. We're going to get rid of Obamacare. We're going to terminate it. We're going to win by knocking the hell out of Obamacare, terminating it
with Obamacare.
Getting back to the boring subject, it's almost a waste of time talking about it, because when we terminate it, all we'll do is say it was a bad experience for the American people. We are decimating Obamacare. We got a bad vote the evening. We got a bad vote the evening that we were going to terminate Obamacare. Hopefully we'll win at the appellate division and go to the Supreme Court to terminate Obamacare.
We want to terminate Obamacare because it's bad. Look, we're running it really well, but we know it's defective.
What we are doing is we want to terminate health care for under Obamacare because it's bad.
We almost got it done, but John McCain voted against it. That was a bad day. Remember that? Thumbs down after campaigning for 10 years. Thumbs down, everybody.
Donald Trump through the years saying, Joe, he wants to terminate Obamacare, which is very, very popular in this country. And by the way, it's only getting more popular as the years go on. There were questions around how it was going to work, how much it cost in the original stages when it was implemented. And now it's more popular than ever. 40 million Americans use it. People with pre-existing conditions now get coverage. And yet Donald Trump has picked this issue, which even in polling, Republicans say, let's stay away from that one. He seems to want to drill down. And now in that statement yesterday, just like with abortion rights, he's scrambling to cover himself, but he can't run from all that tape we just showed.
No, wait, Gene, way too much tape. And you have, starting in 2016, he's going to terminate Obamacare, 2018, decimate Obamacare, even in 2023, talking about terminating Obamacare. And as you see, he, at one point, he gets carried away and says, we're going to terminate health care.
So as you can see, Brother Trump is now trying to say he didn't say the things that he had said over the last decade and what he attempted to do while he was in office, which is to repeal Obamacare. Again, The guy is amazing with forgetting the things that he did, forgetting the things that he said, purposefully, of course. But worse is not Donald Trump. Worse are those who will vote for him and give him the benefit of the doubt when his word has absolutely no value. I mean, think about this, folks. He repealed, he made sure and installed Supreme Court justices who obeyed his rule and got rid of Roe versus Wade. And then later he said he would entertain a national ban. Now that we see what national bans look like, based on what Arizona has done, based on what Texas has done, based on what Florida has done, to many Americans, they're starting to see that the right-wing methodology isn't really what they may have thought it was. It wasn't enough to hate the other, because hating the other is just a cover for all the things that these guys, the people who I call the American Taliban, what they are trying to do. Again, their evangelical faction would like to put women back into 1864, and the neoliberal version are there to give the rich people the tax cuts. And guess who gets left holding the bag? You do. Whether you're a Republican or Democrat, you are the ones holding the bag. So go vote for Donald Trump. Go vote for El Señor Trump and see who actually benefits. You know, again, the more wealthy progressives and liberals, they'll do fine. They hate that his policies, but they'll do fine. You know who else does fine? Hey, the rich Republicans do fine. You know who suffers? Our white brothers and sisters in Appalachia, who all the programs that they want to cut comes out of your pocket. And at that point, they can't say blame the other. They can only say blame you, because that is what you voted for. For the middle class Americans who decide to vote for him, hey, guess what? When you see the results of voting for him, it's not him that needs to be blamed. Look in the mirror. That is the ones, if he were to be elected. Luckily, I think many Americans are waking up. And I think what we will have in the November is a landslide victory, not only for the presidency, not only for the Senate, not only for the House, but also the legislatures throughout the country. We're going to see a rebranding of America. We're going to see a rebuilt America, landslide in the making. Amen. A lot of people don't get it yet, but you know, I don't think I did that clip yet. Let's see. No, I didn't do that clip. That's not one of the clips that I did. But anyway, it is interesting that you know how Donald Trump is backtracking on abortion. He's backtracking on Obamacare. Oh my God, poor thing. All right, let's see what else we got here. I paid my loans off for school. Took 10 years, so only fear and no hate, only fairness. I paid my school debt off as well. Do I have any animosity towards folks who are not able to pay theirs off, especially since because we have a change economy? When you and I went to school, it's a lot different than those who went to school now. The predatory loans that people went ahead and got, do I not understand that? Do I not have empathy for those people? Of course I do. But you see, evangelicals haven't learned that good thing called empathy, and not because I paid mine off means that I can't have empathy to those who are unable to pay it off. It's actually a pretty darn selfish way to be, you know. But then again, evangelicalism have made being selfish vogue. It has been made tolerating things like a rapist for president vogue. So, hey, I shouldn't expect much more, my dear brother. All right, let's continue here. I'm scrolling down. Getting rid of student loan debt is an investment in our youth, which is in turn an investment to the nation. Do conservatives really understand that? No, because they believe in simply being slaves to the corporations. Remember, that is a modus operandi. Remember that. Michael Rodden says, Eric Hayes, my family paid my way through CUNY, City of New York University College, but I still support Universal College and eliminating $1.7 trillion student debt, even though it won't personally help me. I see doing such as making our nation greater for the effort. You see, again, it's amazing how the evangelical Christians have a tendency to think me, 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 me. I had to pay mine, so you must go through that pain too. As opposed to saying, I want to see good things happen to other people, even if it hadn't happened to me. That is the difference between a true person, a true believer in whatever type of religion you have that has true values. Michael Rodden said Trump had a chance to do all that stuff when he was in office and got nowhere. Broken promises and lies. And that's because he doesn't know how to use it. Period. He doesn't know how to do it. All right. Let's say Mike Cisak says those people who do get part of their student loans paid will have to treat that as income and pay tax on it. And so what? I think that's a great thing, right? If it's income, it's income. And yes, it is income. Now, they could actually have made it, I think it's okay to call that income. But if the government wanted to, they could go ahead and say that is a payment that isn't going to be considered income. That's not something that has to be written in stone. All right. Eric Hayes says, actually, bad orange man accuses Mr. B of destroying Social Security and other benefits via allowing everyone else to get it and bankrupt the system. That is actually an asinine statement by the orange man, but the orange man doesn't know Matt, so we should expect that kind of stuff from him. Michael Rodinson, is this an act of terrorism? Brenham radio station KWHI, citing the Washington County Sheriff, reported that the 18-wheeler was stolen in near Chapel Hill and that its driver intentionally crashed it into the office the DPS office over the recent denial of a commercial driver's license application. That's terrorism. Of course, they try to change a political. Well, actually, no, Michael, it's actually a crime. I don't think he was trying to change political policy. So that would be a crime, not terrorism. Mike Cisek says, of course, Biden is still in violation of SCOTUS ruling that prohibited Biden from doing anything related to paying off student loans. Look, we have a laissez-faire country now. One can't trust the Supreme Court as being the law of the land, given the inconsistencies of its rulings. And what makes it inconsistent? They're no longer a judicial event. I mean, judicial body. They're now a political body and should be treated as such. They don't have the I don't give much credence to anything the Supreme Court does anymore. Mike Cisek says for such a violation, Biden should be thrown in jail and prosecuted. Well, why don't you guys try it? Paul Fleming says between 1978 and 2022, worker pay grew by 15%, top executive pay by 1,209%. Major US CEOs are now paid 344 times more than employees. When I say corporate CEOs are exploiting labor, of course they are. Of course they are. Exactly, Fleming. Maywood says interest rates so that you pay off the loan three times over, but because of the raised interest rates, you now owe more than you borrowed, like they did to the people getting relief now during the 10 years you paid the loan. It's ridiculous. I mean, but you know what? We have enough good people that will vote for people who want to give good policies and, you know, to hell with those who are constantly on the negative. But that's okay. All right, Paul Fleming says, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, $260,000 contribution is earmarked specifically for the party's voter protection program. It is the first time a member of Congress has given money to a program that works on voter registration, poll observation, and litigation. You go, AOC. Michael Radin says, Eric Hayes, do you think taxes are government spending other people's money? The difference between us, I'd much rather the government spend it on the needs of the people than anything else. And I bet he doesn't have a problem buying a tank. But he has a problem helping a fellow man. Again, that is what the right teaches you, to have your priorities screwed up. Mike Cisek, I suggest you watch two programs, one specifically Farm Inc. and the second one called Farm Inc. and The Big Short. I hope you can understand them. Please try, and please try to understand them outside of the mirrors. Outside of the lens of the right wing, because remember what I've tell you all of the times, right wing news makes you dumb. You are not dumb, neither is Eric, but the news that you watch could make the transition from unintelligence to intelligence a rather bit more difficult. Paul Fleming says airlines have merged more than 12 carriers in 1980 to four. A handful of companies control the pharmaceutical industry, four giants, 80% of the meat market. The evidence of corporate concentration is everywhere. And that is what capitalism does. Capitalism says the most efficient use of resources. And also it says that it maximizes profits and for shareholder value. And the only way to do that is to keep buying your competition so that you're maximizing value. It's by design. This isn't an accident at all. Welcome aboard E2247. Max Cisek says the Voter Protection Act is a left of center political action committee that donates to far left candidates for office who support eliminating many of U.S. election law securities. I don't know why we'd want to eliminate election law security when people want more progressive ideas than they want ideas. Well, they don't want any ideas from the right, actually, because the idea there are no ideas from the right. Name me one. You couldn't tell me one. There are no ideas on the right. Mike Cisek, Biden is losing the youth vote over Gaza and the continued arms sale to Israel. Meanwhile, I know that if Muslim ban Trump gets into office, he's going to let Israel turn Gaza into a parking lot for a golf course. One more reason to push harder. All right. Jan Schwoski is now Democratic Senior Chief Deputy Whip, having joined the House of Representatives in 1999, sitting in a powerful seat held by Sid Yates. Jan is a force of nature, and I've interviewed her. If you go to my website and put Jan Schakowsky, I interviewed her back in several Netroots ago, but I interviewed her. Real nice person. I like her. Let's see what else we have. A letter from Pocan about, I'll read that later. Emotionally distressed pilot dressed in street clothes rants the passenger about bound for SFO, removed from plane. Some passengers expressed compassion after watching the pilot suffer from what appeared to be a nervous breakdown. Wow. I would hate to be where flying the plane, right? Biden will sign a new $18 billion transfer to Israel. Oh, I don't even want to read that. All right, let's go to our second video. This one is former Trump advisor points out a reality that few want to admit, and that is Trump. Listen to what I have to say about inflation, but suffice it to say that Trump is much more responsible for inflation than several would believe. Here it is, and we'll take it on the other side. Well, we got some more honesty from a former senior advisor to President Donald Trump. And it turns out it's what I've been talking about for some time. You know, while many would like to blame inflation on Donald Trump, on Biden, Donald Trump is really the genesis of this latest inflation. And we're going to explain it because I got to do a little bit. But let's listen to this first, and then we'll take it on the other side.
There's so much revisionist history, Miles, on the part of Republicans about what happened on January 6th. But there's also revisionist history on the part of voters about how the economy was under Donald Trump. And we know that even if everything breaks Joe Biden's way when it comes to these economic indicators over the next several months, you're still going to have Donald Trump and Republicans who are going to hammer him on the price of food, on the price of gas. He's going to continue to exaggerate his own economic record. I wonder how Democrats combat that, how they get out from under that.
Well, one thing I want to point out, Alicia, first is your point about January 6th and the revisionism. Yep. It's gotten into even deeper, crazy conspiratorial levels. I mean, just today, Sebastian Gorka, a flunky from Trump's universe, was talking about how there were intelligence officers from newly released filings that they found on Capitol Hill. I can tell you why there were people from the intelligence community there, because that's what happens when you call in law enforcement in the area. You've got people who safeguard CIA property and FBI property. You call in all these different law enforcement agencies. I've overseen those activations. But these guys read those tea leaves like there was a secret op against the country run by the intelligence community. I mean, it's getting wackier and wackier. It's almost it's a different reality entirely. Why is that connected to economics? Because those same weird conspiratorial views are bleeding over into conversations about things like inflation and the economy under Donald Trump. And in fact, you know, some of these conspiracy theory folks think Joe Biden has a secret four-dimensional chess that he's trying to do things in the economy. Look, it boils down to this: whether you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, it's really tough to say the president of the United States is the one controlling the direction of the economy. That's just really, really difficult to do. An economy is a very complex system, like anything in the natural world, and it's difficult to ascribe it to one man or woman's actions. Yes, a president can have influence over that, but there's a lot of revisionist history about what happened under Donald Trump, including extraordinary levels of federal spending that happened under Donald Trump that drove inflation. As a conservative, it was something that was immensely frustrating to me during the Trump administration, is he promised a smaller government, but instead was one of the biggest spenders, if not the biggest spender in American history. So a lot of what we dealt with in terms of inflation really started during those Trump years.
Here's what's important. Earlier, I mentioned that in previous videos that inflation, the inflation under Biden was not caused by scarcity. It was not caused by anything that would create that supply demand sort issue. Inflation occurred because of corporate greed and corporate ineptitude. That is what is causing inflation under Biden. I don't care what you hear on CNBC, corporate ineptitude, corporate greed. And let me explain. Just-in-time inventory screwed the supply chain just as much as the pandemic, because just-in-time inventory and a pandemic doesn't coexist. We must assume that pandemics can happen. Likewise, we should also understand that deciding to manufacture a whole lot of your chain overseas is also something that makes a supply chain failure. And guess what? It occurred because of corporate ineptitude. Now, the other reason is corporate folks saw people had money in their pockets, and instead of trying to have them create products for them to buy more. Their solution was to steal their money. How? Increase the prices of products, even as their cost wasn't increased as much. So that's a legal form of thievery. So, but the type of inflation that Trump, however, created is one where he directly caused the increase in prices. How? When he talks about he's going to penalize China with a tariff, and when he applies that tariff, who do you think is paying for the tariff? It's not China paying for the tariff. It's each individual customer who would have bought that T-shirt at a premium now that that T-shirt costs more to bring into the country after your corporations decided that they go manufacture all those things overseas. So again, if you want to look at the genesis of inflation, there are two culprits: tariffs created by Donald Trump and corporate greed created by corporations and the ineptitude of corporations. So therefore, if we really want to be serious about controlling inflation, let's do it right. Make sure you have the right people elected and demand that they pass policies that, first of all, stop the excess profits of corporations by taxing it right back out of them and redistributing it to the people who they was stolen from. And then we can talk about a real equitable economy.
We spend a lot of
time. You know, and it's all difficult for people to really understand that, right? It is like, oh, but in a private system, you can't go ahead and tell them what to charge, what to price. Oh, yeah, we can't. You're right. But what we can do is we can tax it right back out of there and then redistribute that to the people. And that's what we need. We need to start playing hardball with capitalism. If capitalism is going to feel free to screw Americans, what we need to do is mitigate that and solve the problem by letting capitalism pay for its failure. It's not magic. It's not rocket science. It's just something that the people demands that we do. We have to let them stop it. I mean, if you take a look at what Paul Fleming just put in the chat where he says, I just saw it. It scrolled down. Come on, Paul. Where is it? I wanted to see the price of all the prices that went up. Is it Paul who did that one? Let's see. Yeah. No, it's CSAC. LA Times today. U.S. consumers are paying 20% more for milk, about 30% more for bread, and more than 50% more for eggs than they were in February of 2020, just before the COVID-19 pandemic began. Rents are up more than 20% from pre-pandemic levels, and electricity costs about 30% more. You've just defined the problem with capitalism, the failure of capitalism. Now, if I were the president, now I'll just say wage and price control starts now. Nixon did it. And you know what? It worked for a while. But I mean, the thing about it is what we need to do is get the psychopaths from being the ones who run our society and start educating people to let the good ones run our society. What happens is these psychopaths are the ones that are in charge of our society. All that, I mean, I find it amazing that you revel in that increase in prices when there is no reason for those prices to have increased to where they are today. But you try to say, oh, it's Biden's fault, as opposed to looking to where the problem really lies. I wish more people had the mindset to teach themselves not to be screwed by those who they purport to respect, those that have not earned the respect. The corporate sector has not earned the respect of any of us. Anyway, I have, before I go to the chair, yesterday I was interviewed by the Texas Grassroots Alliance. Welcome aboard, Dev Denny. Unfettered capitalism is not sustainable. It's a mathematical fact what you just said there, Deb. When corporations are making record profits and their administrators are making multimillions, it's not inflation. Thank you, Deb. You get it. Unfortunately, there are people in here that are they're smart, but they've allowed ideology to make them less than smart. And you know what less than smart really means. But anyhow, I got interviewed by the Texas Grassroots Alliance. And what I want to do is I want to play that interview for you right now. Let me go ahead and cue a few things here that I need to get queued first. All right, that is queued so far. All right. So check out this interview. I think you are going to like it. Let's go now.
What I do in the book is I try to show some of the stories that happens to people for the people of color who read those stories. They're going to understand it immediately. For my white brothers and sisters who read the story, some of that stories, they're going to say, God, I saw that, but it didn't even ring a bell.
And I think that's in your last chapter. You wrote this book for two separate audiences, right? You just delineated that. Right? So what are you, dig a little deeper to that. What are you hoping that the disparate audiences will get? And then are there things in the book that you hope both audiences will equally conceive?
Yeah, well, you notice I said two audiences, really, a people of color audience and a white people audience. And let me tackle the people of color. Like I said, they're going to read the book. And for the ones that are not, that haven't bought into the fallacies of America, that's a great melting pot already, they will get it. Now, for my white brothers and sisters, this is the kind of stuff that I want to reach at. Right now, there's an anti-DEI movement, as if we don't need that. It's reverse racism, etc. Because many really don't see that racism and prejudice and lack of opportunity has taken a different form. Mm-hmm. And what I've shown, I think, in the book, with all the things that have happened with me in business, employment, and just existence, a lot of things that people won't see on the outside, they'll see, oh, I can see why that is needed. Let me give a perfect example. I'm not going to give the NASA example right away, but let's just talk about me being in business. When I decided to go in business, I had a successful business. I just didn't have cash or capital. I went to the bank with a friend of mine. Both of us were going to apply for a small business loan. Uh-huh. He got into the bank. And by the way, he's a good friend, but he was a coke addict. Okay. This white guy, and he went into the bank and they made him fill out paperwork, etc. It was easy for him to get the small business loan. I went into the bank. The guy said, you had any collateral? No. He said, don't even bother filling out the application. So right then and there, I formed my company on credit card debt, 18, 20, 25% interest rate. He formed his company on 6% interest rate. Somebody can say, well, you know, you got the loan. He didn't. No big deal. But he got a privilege that I didn't. He could build his business on 6%. I built mine on 18 to 25% credit card debt. Right. Mm-hmm. So what I try to explain in the book is that kind of stuff happens. And when we talk about DEI and the reason we have to have some sort of equity is when you see things like that happen, it actually affects your ultimate success, or your success is degraded, not based on your abilities, but your success is degraded based on your ethnicity, your complexion, who you are. At NASA, this one, another quick example, at NASA.
You worked at NASA?
Yes, I did.
What were you doing?
I was a senior programmer analyst and a senior research engineer. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, I told several of the stories in there relative to NASA, but the one that always got to me, and this one is sort of, people think it's simple, but it is inherent to how people are treated, right? I am at the place, and I have my cubicle. John D has her cubicle at the window, and I never thought anything of it. But when she quit, I go into my boss's office and I said, hey, anybody had dibs on her office yet, which was at the window? And he said, and this was in Clear Lake, no. So I said, okay, I am making the first dibs for that office. I want to move my office to her office now that she's gone. He turns around and he looks straight at me and he said, oh, I'm sorry, Egberto, the window offices are relegated to seniors. But guess what?
Senior staffers.
Yes. Yeah. I was a senior, not knowing that I had the worst cubicle, even as a senior, and the seniors there that were white had window seats and cubicles. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a clue. So he just came out and blurted that out. And I smiled and sure. I said, oh, I'm a senior. And he got red face and he stopped it. Oh, I don't. And I stopped him and I said, I don't know what you're going to do. And I walked out of his office. I went to my briefcase, picked it up, walked out of the building in Clear Lake, jumped in my car and started off. I lived in Houston. I worked in Clear Lake, drove home. By the time I got home, a call came in to let my wife know. And my wife thought something was hell of a wrong, sure, to let me know that, oh, by the way, it's yours. But the issue is, why do I have to go through things like this? Right. So those types of things are a constancy, but it's a constancy in the lives of POCs right now. And even, look, there are good people out there that do the right thing, but too many of us are faced with the right thing not being done. And in that process, most people just acquiesce to it. They're quiet about it. It's something that I was never quiet about. I would do things at the risk of losing my job, including a time when there was a time when all the Black and Latino folks would meet up at my cubicle and we'll be shooting the bull and all that kind of stuff. We had Africans, we had Latinos from just about every country. We'll just talk and we'll have these types of conversations, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember my boss coming down to the aisle and he had his cigar. What the hell are you running here, Rigoberto? The damn NAACP? You know, it is the things that you have to go through in these systems. And nobody talks about it because, well, you talk about it, you know, what's going to happen? I was one of those crazies that I think I was too crazy for the 5 years I worked in corporate America. I think I was a bit too crazy to get fired because they didn't know what it meant. You know, they really didn't know what it meant.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead. Number one, subscribe to our channel. And number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join. Absolutely so. Please go ahead and join our network. Anyway, folks, Mike Cicek has bought the Kool-Aid. You know what I find ironic? When a guy like Mike Cicek tries to tell our white brothers and sisters that somehow they are at a disadvantage. He says, the federal government has preferences towards POC and women. Forget it if you're a white guy. Huge amount of racism and sexism by the federal government. And then you go and look at all the leadership in the federal government, and you look at all the offices, and you look at the majority of people in management and power, and you calculate what percentage of them are white men compared to the rest of the staff. And you're going to find that there is that most of these jobs, not by the relative strength of the white men population, it goes to white men. I mean, I find it astounding that, you know, it goes the same way. DEI, we need to stop it. White guys can't get a job in corporate America anymore. Now they're trying to give preferential treatment to those others, those people of color and women. And then you look at the numbers, and the numbers say that white men are overrepresented in corporate America. White men are overrepresented in every single one of these domains. Every single one of these domains, right? Somehow Mike Cicek then comes out and says, white men are at a disadvantage. Give me a break. I mean, what happens is guys like Mike have been made to believe by the people who misinform them that somehow equity, right? Meaning honesty, equity, somehow means that white men need to be overrepresented. Come on, Mike Cicek, grow up. Deb Dennis says, as a white person, that incenses me. A black friend picked me up at work a few years ago, and the whole office went crazy wanting me to get permission for him to pick me up. Huh? Wanting me to get permission for him to pick me up. I was gobsmacked. I don't understand. What does that mean, Deb? Maybe I miss what you're saying there as far as what they mean by wanting me to get permission. What does that mean? Kind of crazy, isn't it? I don't know. Tell me what the permission mean, dear Deb. I didn't understand. Let's see what else, Deb. I don't. She's going to explain it in a minute. All right, Mike Lennon says, "Hey, Mike. See, when you're accustomed to privilege, equality feels like oppression." Wow. Hey, is there a meme with that, Michael Rudnin? They wanted to know when a black person was going to be there. Oh, what? That is, in fact, crazy. That is, in fact, crazy, Deb. Where are you located? I'm curious. What state? That is crazy. Let's see. Rudnin got the mic. Wait. Oh, yeah. There you go. Franklin Leonard. I love that meme. I got to put that meme on, guys. I have got to put that meme on because it is. I think that is definitely the meme that our brother needs to see. El Señor Mike Cisek needs that meme. Oops, I lost it. I lost the meme, but I am recovering that meme because that meme must be shown. That meme must be shown. So here is that meme. Thank you for that one. When you're accustomed to privilege, equity feels like oppression. Her office is a bunch of bigots, according to the duck that quacks. It's amazing. You know, and one of the we're a multinational company and operated in a progressive college town. People of color were not unusual. That is so interesting, Deb. That is so interesting. Now you see why a book like this is necessary. Tribulations of an Afro-Latino Caribbean Man. I have the full, and you know, the clip that I just showed about my book, I have that clip. I have a full interview. The full interview is about an hour and 11, hour and 12 minutes. Then I made a shorter one that's about an hour. And then this clip was just made so that we could get a kind of piece of what I do with the book. Anyhow, the last video today is with Michael Steele. And let's go ahead and play that right now. Former RNC chair Michael Steele continues to really throw shade at Republican supporters of Donald Trump for their hypocrisy. You know, when they talk about law and order, but they support a likely felon. They support someone that the judges have already called a rapist. They support somebody that has really stole from many people, that have ripped people off. Again, done a whole lot of illegal things that only his status has saved him from, right? Because he's a billionaire and that class seeks to help out each other. But they'll vote for him. And Michael Steele has a special message for that. Check this out, then we'll take it on the other side.
Michael, help me out on this one. Republicans like to hammer their point about crime being rampant in America on President Biden's watch. They call themselves the party of law and order. What does that look like come October if down ballot Republicans are running with a convicted felon at the top of the ticket?
It's yummy. It's just yummy. It really is. I mean, I put a cherry on top of that ish. You know what I'm talking about? It's going to be that good because it's just it. But you know what? Here's the sad part. They won't care. They won't care because it's all about him. They're so consumed by him. They're so much in whatever he wants and make it, you know, his success is their success, regardless of what it looks like or how it comes about. So, yeah, you know, the rest of us sitting there going, wait a minute. So let me get this straight. You said talking about crime under Joe Biden. OK, so here's a good example of that. Your guy, right? He's in the criminal justice system. But it won't matter. It really won't matter, because if it did, we wouldn't be here. He would not be the nominee. They would have dealt with that a long time ago. They would have realized just how embarrassingly stupid and ugly they look by putting forward someone like this, when there were, quite honestly, better qualified, better capable, certainly, how shall we say, legal free, you know, candidates, Nikki Haley, you know, Ron DeSantis and others who could have been the nominee, which would have made this a much more difficult race for the Democratic Party. But no, they wanted to go with the guy who's going to court on Monday, who stands a chance of being convicted. And yeah, let's run with that come November and see how America swallows it, see how much they buy it. And that, again, will say a lot more about us than it does about Donald Trump or the Republican Party.
Yes, again, where is the embarrassment? But the special message that he has is so true. Voting for Donald Trump, for all those who vote for him, says more about those who vote for him than it does about Donald Trump or the Republican Party proper. It says more about them. Think about it.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead. Number one, subscribe to our channel. And number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.
That is so funny, Mike Cisak. A slander suit for saying that a judge said that Donald Trump is a rapist. That in any other court, in any other system, it would be a rape. Slander? Who is the one that lie against people the most? Other people on Trump or Trump proper? Come on, my brother. Grow up. Heard Donald's poem song this morning on KPFT-FM. It was great. Seems that Donald wanted Egberto to say what after each refrain and make a video. I know. I was so slow this morning when he wanted me to say that. He wanted me to say what? And then he continued, but I mean, I like brother Donald. Donald was doing really well today. And, you know, he made, you know, I was touched. That's all I can say. I was touched. Let's see what else. Anyway, folks, we're at the end of the program. We do need your support. Please consider going to politicsandright.com/patron and becoming a patron. politicsandright.com/patron and become a patron. Okay. Oh my God. Mike, I don't see why you would spend your effort defending a thief, a thug, a person accused of rape, a person that was found guilty of sexual assault or something like that. Why would you spend your time? Why would you spend your morality on such an evil person? It's like brother Steele says, it may say more about you than it does about him. Okay? Why would you do that? The guy's a rapist. He talks about holding women by the crutch. Don't you find something wrong with that, CSAC? Why would you so defend that guy, CSAC? Don't you have a daughter? Don't you have a wife? Don't you have an auntie? Come on, man. Come on. Anyhow, please support the program. Go to politicsandright.com slash politicsonright.com/patreon to support the program on our Patreon. Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Please consider going. If you want to find out all the different ways in which you can support us, go to politicsdoneright.com/support. politicsdoneright.com/support. You can also go ahead and get our books, politicsdoneright.com/books. politicsdoneright.com/books. That is where you can find our new book, Tribulations of an Afro-Latino Caribbean Man, Racism Did Not Stop My Smile, Hope or Journey Forward. Again, as well, my other books are there as well. And you can become a subscriber of our newsletter. We send out great articles on our newsletter, as well as our daily, what we're going to cover at KPFT. So please go ahead and sign up. Become a paid subscriber. That helps us grow. It helps us grow. politicsandright.com/newsletter. politicsandright.com/newsletter. Please consider supporting us in one of the many different ways that you have there. I got to get out of here, folks. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics and Right. Love you all. And I mean that from the depth of my heart. I love my right wingers. I love my left wingers. I love my liberals. I love my progressives. I love my neoliberals. I love my conservatives. I love my Trumpists. I love my MAGA. Because we only have one planet. And while I'm going to hit you hard, civilly, when you make silly statements like has my brother Mike Cisak and Eric Hayes many a times, that doesn't mean that I don't care about all of you guys, right? And I mean that. And Eric can tell you, I sat down and had coffee with Eric for some time and we had a very good conversation, private, but a very good conversation. And I really like Eric, but sometimes I want to shake the bejesus out of Eric because he can't unload his bad ideology that actually harms people. But we're working on it. And as long as we're talking, we're working on it. Anyway, folks, I got to get out of here. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics and Right. And you guys know how I end this, baby. I am what? Out.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.